The beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 1. There's a slide presentation up there, Brother Morty. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's read that all together. Very important scripture. In the beginning, God. Just stop 1 second. I'm a preacher. I can't get past that. There's something right there for all of us. We talked about it last week about God being all, God being everything, God being first. And here we strike it within the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. All right. God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light. Everyone say, let there be light. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint my lips as I speak your word. Lord, anoint people's hearts and ears to hear your word, Lord Jesus, that we would hear what your Spirit says to the church today. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Special welcome to our guests today. If you're a guest with us, we just want you to feel welcome. We're so glad that you are here today. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, there was nothing but darkness. In the beginning, there was nothing but emptiness. It was, as the Bible says, it was without form and void. Emptiness without purpose, without form and void. Some say that God created the world from scratch. But we know he didn't create it from scratch. He created it from itch. Because itch comes before scratch. You're waiting for something really, really deep and theological, weren't you? But God created the world from nothing. Complete darkness, complete emptiness. There was no purpose. It was without form and void. There was nothing. The Bible says the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Complete darkness. Then the world was nothing like what we know the world to be today. It was darker than you could ever imagine. Even if you were to go into your cupboard at home, Brother Matthew, and you were to cover your eyes, shut the door, put a blanket over your head, put all your clothes on top of your head, it was darker than that. Has anyone ever been in a really, really dark place? I'm not talking about a spiritual place, but just somewhere really, really dark. Yeah, I remember being in a cave once, right down deep in a cave, and they turned the lights off. And for a second there, I almost began to forget where up and down was. It was like I lost all my bearings. There was not one little piece of light. It was so dark. I remember being in the catacombs in Rome, right down deep in the ground in the catacombs, and when it was just so dark. But the world then, before, in the beginning, it was nothing like the world we know. There was total and complete darkness. There was no form or structure. There was nothing holding it together. There was nothing beautiful about it. There was nothing productive about it. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God had a solution for the darkness. Turn to the person next to you and say, God had a solution for the darkness. God had a solution for the darkness. Aren't you glad that God has a solution for the darkness? Aren't you glad this morning that God has a solution for the darkness? I want to preach today this simple thought, and it's on the next slide there, Brother Morty. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. God had existed for all eternity, but he had never said a single word. He had all wisdom, but he had never spoken. He had all creation, but he was never creating. We started in Genesis chapter 1. That's where we started, but God started way before Genesis chapter 1. He had existed for all time, but until this point, God had not said a single word. Now we get to Genesis chapter 1, and after an immeasurable period of time, God finally speaks. In his first words, God would give the solution to the darkness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God steps onto the scene and he says, "Let there be light." God steps into an earth that is without form and void. God steps into a dark world and he says, "Let there be light." I've come to tell you today that the only solution to darkness is light. The only solution to darkness is light. And the light, when God said, "Let there be light," it stopped all of the darkness. Darkness no longer reigned on the earth. All of the universe had been in darkness, but light stepped center stage when God took his place and he said, "Let there be light." Until that point in time, darkness had encompassed the whole earth. Until this point in time, there was nothing, but everything was without form and void. But now light comes as the Spirit of God moves on the face of the waters and says, "Let there be light." God's solution to darkness will always be light. No matter what darkness there is in your life today, God's solution to the darkness is light. No matter what darkness is in your family today, the solution to that darkness is light. No matter what darkness is in your life, the solution to the darkness is light. The best news you can ever hear is that there is a solution to the darkness, and that is light. Everybody say, "Praise the Lord." There is an answer to darkness. It is light. The answer is to allow the light into your situation and into your circumstances. And I know that on this day, there are people gathered here in Calvary Chapel, and you are saying, "There is a lot of darkness in my life. I feel like there's darkness surrounding me. I feel like I'm without form and void. I feel like I don't have hope." I've come to tell you today that there is a solution for the darkness, and light is always the solution to darkness. God stepped center stage. The first thing he says, he says, "Would somebody turn the light on? Let there be light." 4,000 years after that day, that beginning day, that Genesis 1 and 1, 4,000 years after that day, the same God that stepped out then in creation steps out again onto the same earth. The same God. This time he would not come as a spirit, but he would come, as Colossians says, the express image of the invisible God. 4,000 years after creation, God steps back onto planet Earth. This time, it's not as the Spirit moving on the face of the waters, but this time as the man Jesus Christ, as Colossians calls him, the express image of the invisible God. Here is Jesus Christ, God manifest in flesh. God put on flesh. And John 1 and 1, if you could turn there in your Bible, John 1 and 1. Four 4,000 years, God steps onto the same earth again. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you're to care to look at the Greek of that word is logos, the thought and the plan of God. In the beginning was the thought and plan of God, all right? That's what that word means. Look it up for yourself. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14 says, and the word, that logos, that plan of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came and dwelt among us. It says, in him was life. Everybody say life. And the life was the light of men. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The light once again shines in the darkness. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Light is the only solution to darkness. And now we see God again intervening here on earth as he sees that the world is full of darkness. Jesus was the light shining in the darkness. Jesus was the word made flesh that dwelt among us. The light has come to dwell with us. When Jesus came as God manifest in flesh, he was the same God that lit up the universe in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Jesus was the light of the world, and that light has come to be with us today. 2,000 years later, I'm here to preach that light. I'm here to preach that Jesus is the light. I'm here to bring hope to you today. That doesn't matter what darkness is in your life, Jesus is the light. And if you've got darkness, you need Jesus. Hebrews says in the brightness of his glory. Matthew 17 says that Jesus' face shine like the sun. And Jesus was walking among us. This time he began to survey the earth again. Jesus, this time not moving on the face of the water, but walking on the side of the waters. Not from heaven's view, but now he is walking on the earth. Darkness had once again began to rear its ugly head. Not a physical darkness this time, like in Genesis chapter 1, but now a spiritual darkness. Spiritually, people were without form and void. Spiritually, people were without form and void. Jesus looked down at earth and he saw that there was more law than love, more money changers than givers, more doubt than faith, hypocrites everywhere. Even entire nations had strayed from God. And God looks down and he sees that the world is not now just in physical darkness, but now there is spiritual darkness in the earth. And Jesus Christ steps onto earth, God manifest in the flesh. The light has come into the dark world. And the Bible says that he was life, and the life was the light of men. He came again to dispel darkness, because the only solution to darkness is light. Jesus Christ, having been in the same situation before, back in the beginning with physical darkness, he knew that the only solution to darkness is spiritual darkness on earth. The only way to bring order to the chaos, the only way to bring things that were without form and void and bring them back to life, the only thing that could end the darkness was light. I've come to tell you today that Jesus is still the answer. It's very, very simple. I'm sorry if it's not more profound for you today, but Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is the answer. Turn to someone next to you and tell them that Jesus is the answer. Come on, find somebody on the other side of you. Jesus is the answer. Now, if Jesus is the answer and we're Christians, then what's the go with all the problems that we have? Why are some of us struggling? Why are some of us kind of not feeling like we've got it all together? Maybe some of us today are feeling without form and void. Maybe some of us are feeling like we're in darkness. And this idea that Jesus is the answer is very, very, it's one of the most difficult yet simplest concepts in the Christian life. Many times people will come, say, "Pastor, I need help." And if I was to say to them, "Jesus is the answer," they'll look at you and just say, "There has to be more. How could Jesus be the answer?" You see, it's difficult to understand, yet it is so simple. Jesus is the answer. Why is it difficult for us to comprehend that Jesus is the answer? Let me tell you why it's difficult for us right now. It's because in this modern era, in the times that we live, we think of peace, joy, happiness, we think of them as abstract commodities. We want peace in a pill. We want joy in a shot and happiness in a bottle. We look to things to bring peace. We look to things to bring happiness. We look to things to find joy. We look to things. We're looking for that simple solution, that one-off phrase, that one thing that we can do, that one thing that we could take, just something simple to just relieve me of the pain. That's very much where a lot of us are at in this modern era. A lot of people come, they ask for counsel of the pastor, and they're just wanting to know that the one thing. They want, like, it's like they're waiting for me to just give them the solution to all of life's problems, Brother Rob, and just give them a glass of water and a little pill. Just take this and it will all be good. You see, because we get so used to this way of finding happiness and that it's in things. But I've come to tell you today that Jesus is the answer. You see, what we want, we just want a feeling with no strings attached. We want everything to be good, but we don't want to have any commitments. We want to live a good Christian life. We don't want to have any problems. We want to have the victory, but we don't want to have a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, I'm preaching. Because a relationship with Jesus might cost us something. We may have to leave some things behind. We may have to change some stuff in our life. That's why we have a tendency to say, "Can you just give me that pill? Can you just say a prayer and make it all go away, Brother Jonathan? Come on, Pastor, surely you can just do something, it'll all go away." But I've come to tell you that a relationship with Jesus Christ is still the answer. If you've got darkness in your life, you've got to let the light in. You've got to let the light in. You've got to let the light in. So we want to have everything right, but we don't want to have any responsibilities. Life doesn't work like that. For example, can you have the feeling of love? Can you have the feeling of love without it being attached to a person? No. Many people would try. I mean, you read these things in the newspaper about people who try to find love in computers or fallen in love with computers. In fact, one of the funniest stories I could tell you as a preacher's kid was probably about 25 years ago. I was laying in my bed and we heard the phone ring about 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I hear Dad stumbling down the hallway, you know, as you do at 3 o'clock in the morning, half awake, half asleep, bumping into walls. It's dark and the phone's ringing. And I wake up and I'm laying in my bed. My bedroom's just off the lounge room. And I hear my dad pick up the phone and he's talking to this lady. And I couldn't hear what she was saying, but I could hear what my dad was saying. And I hear my dad say something. He says, he said, "You wanna marry a flower." And then I hear my dad, he says, yes, I am a minister of religion. Yes, I am a marriage celebrant, but you're telling me you want to marry a flower. It's a true story. And then my dad continues to be silent as she continues to speak, or I found out it was a she, and he says, yes, I understand you love your flower. Yes, I understand that your flower is very special to you. Obviously getting into some sort of argument with this lady who wants to marry a flower. He says, but I cannot marry you to the flower. And I cannot marry you to your flower over the phone. You see, we want to try and experience love, but it can only happen when there is a person involved. You see, the feeling is a function of the relationship. Love comes from relationship. You cannot have the feeling without the relationship. You cannot find true purpose in your life without a relationship with the Creator. You cannot find hope in your life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot find peace in your life without a relationship with the Prince of Peace. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. And let me tell you, coming to church is great, but it's not going to fix everything. You need a relationship with Jesus. There was a lady once, a long time ago, older lady, electricity first came on, and she rang up the electrical department and wanted to get some electricity installed in her house. And so she got all the wires put in and a few light bulbs put up, and after about a year, the electrical department came back and said, ma'am, we're just wondering, are you having any problems with your electricity? She said, no. Electricity's working fine. Light bulbs are working fine. You're sure, ma'am, you're not having any problems with the electricity? And she said, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. They said, but we've been noticing just by your meter that you're not using any electricity. She said, oh, yes, I am. I'm using some electricity. I turn the lights on, find the matches, light the candles, turn the lights off. Now, we all like to laugh, but some of us do that spiritually. We come to church once a Sunday, turn the lights on, walk out the door, turn the lights off, and light the candles. And try and make it through life without the true light. We need light. We've got to have light. The light is the solution to the darkness. And I don't know who you are today, but I've come to tell you that you can try everything in the world, but unless you've tried Jesus, you will not find the answer. I know it sounds very, very cliche that when we say the phrase that everybody has a void, a void in their life that only can be filled with Jesus Christ. You can see people, they would chase things and things and things and things and things. And they get there at the end and they say, I still haven't found that thing that I'm looking for. I still haven't found it. But if you find somebody who has a relationship with Jesus Christ, they may not have very many things, but they've got everything that they need because they've got Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. You cannot eliminate darkness without letting the light come in. Colossians chapter 2, if you turn there in your Bibles. We're not just going to read 9 and 10, we're going to read from verse 6. So if you could turn there, that would be great. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Everyone got it? Verse 6, Colossians chapter 2. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Receive and walk. Receive and walk. Walk in Jesus Christ. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith, as you have been taught abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here's a warning in verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy. Remember, it was talking about Jesus Christ, about being rooted and built up in Jesus Christ, about walking in Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, beware lest anyone would spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him, in who? In who? For in Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the body of Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead. And verse 10 says, let's read it together. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. You will only find completeness in Jesus Christ. You will only find completeness in Jesus Christ. He is the head of all principality and power. It's all in Jesus, because he is the light. He is the solution. He is the answer. We've got to walk in him. Let there be light. Everybody say, let there be light. So all the way through the Bible, we see this contrast between darkness and light. And in John chapter 8, Jesus makes the life-changing statement. John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the answer. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I've come to tell this congregation today that the answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer to darkness is light. Jesus is the light. All that you need is in Jesus. If you've received Jesus Christ, then walk in Jesus Christ. He is the light. If you will follow him, you will not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. Right from the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1, the answer to darkness was light. And today, the answer to this world's problems is the light. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's probably one of the most profound things I'll say today, so listen carefully. If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to let go of some things. Too many of us are trying to follow Jesus and we're holding on to things. From the past, yes. But we're also holding on to things because we want to hold on to things. Stuff that we do, places that we go, things, habits, addictions, and we hold on to them. And we wonder why our Christian walk isn't growing, because you're trying to follow Jesus all the while you're holding on to something in the past. Holding on to something you're not willing to let go of. And you get this far, an arm's reach, and you say, I'm stuck. Come to the pastor and say, Pastor, you got a pill for that? I said, No. You know, you really have to give up some of that stuff. Oh, I'm not ready for that. Let me tell you, we look at that holding on to those things, we're trying to follow Jesus. You cannot follow Jesus and hold on to things. You got to let go. And the root problem of that is that you just don't trust God. True? Because if you trusted him, you would follow him, that he was going to lead you to better things. I said to someone one day, they were talking to me about what God wanted to do in their life. A great person. God has called them. God's hands on their life. They want to do something great for the kingdom of God. And I was traveling on a trip with them. It was like one night we went back to our room. This guy could talk more than me. 3 hours, he's talking to me about the call of God on his life. And he goes, oh, Jonathan, he goes, I know God has called me, but I'm following him, but I just don't know where it's going to lead. And it seemed like this conversation just went around and around and around in circles. You know, I know God's called me and I'm following him, but I don't know where it's leading to. I stopped, and at this point I'm thinking, I just want to go to sleep. God, give me some profound statement to shut his mouth. And I said, do you trust God? He said, of course I do. I said, then just follow. Oh, thanks. I wish God gave me that 3 hours ago. And that's why a lot of us, we are trying to hold on to these things because we think our life is incomplete without them. And at the same time, we're trying to follow God. Let me tell you, just trust God. Throw it all overboard and just follow Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He's the answer. You will find hope in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And he is, as the Bible says, you will have the light of life. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You see, the reason we hold on to these things, Brother Ben, is because for some reason we're fearful of what would happen if we didn't do that. What would happen if we let it go? What would happen if we moved on? Who would we be? What would we do? All those things. And the Bible says, Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I'm following Jesus Christ. I got nothing to fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus is the answer. Everybody say, Jesus is the answer. So Jesus is the light, but there's another phrase that Jesus says that is very pertinent to us today. He is the light, but he wasn't just happy being the light. He wanted us to spread the light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. Everyone say, me? Come on, like I said it, me? Because that's what some of you just said in your mind. What? Me? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. At this point, Jesus looks at normal people, just like us. Jesus looks at his disciples, his followers, and he said, I know it's bad. I know the circumstances are bad. I know that there's sin everywhere in the world. I know that there's a lot of darkness around, but you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Normal people, teenagers, parents, children, older people, of every tongue, of every tribe. Jesus looked at his followers and he said, you are the light of the world. He said, listen, I know that it's bad. I know that there is sin everywhere. I know that there is darkness everywhere, but you are the light of the world. One of the most depressing things you could do these days is to read the news or watch some documentary that's on ABC or SBS, Inside or Q&A, because everything they're talking about now is about same-sex marriage, is about everything abominable that ever could be. They're talking about it. And it's not something that's just swept under the carpet anymore, Brother Rob. I mean, TV channels are making statements. I heard just recently, and I didn't see it, but on one of those talent shows, there was a guy who basically he was raised a Christian, and it was so sad that his mum had, you know, taught him the Bible way, and now he's harmed and he's hurt, and it's so depressing, and all those sort of things. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. But everywhere we look, there's darkness. When we look into the Word of God, when we look at Jesus Christ, we see light. But when I look out into the world, I see darkness. Now, here's the option we've got. We can either bury our head in the sand, Brother Aaron, and do nothing. Go back into our little cocoon and just hope that it will all go away. And let me tell you, it's not just going to go away. It's just a sign of the times. Or we can do what Jesus Christ told us to do, is to shine our light. And now today, we started out by telling, it doesn't matter what is going on in your life, Jesus is the light. But now I've come to tell you, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, we are the light. And some of you are going to go into your workplace on Monday, and there's a lot of darkness there, there's a lot of fear, but you are the light of the world. You got to remember that you are a light, and don't go in there hiding your light under a bushel, but put your light on a candlestick. Begin to tell people about Jesus. Begin to spread light. Begin to tell people that there is hope. You are the light of the world. Jesus didn't just stop at being light. He insisted on imparting light. And here we are. In the year 2013, 2,000 years from the days of Jesus, 6,000 years from the first day of creation, Jesus knows the situation we're living in. He knows the darkness that we're living amongst today. He knows that we are living around people that have darkness in their life. He knows that there are people who don't know the truth, and the devil is spreading lies to them, and that suicide is at the highest rate and divorce is at the highest rate. Situations in our families, he knows about them all. He knows about the situations in our friendship circles. Maybe there are situations in your life. Maybe there is darkness in your life. Maybe there is a mess in your life. Maybe you are without form and void. But just as the previous times, when God faced darkness, he said, I know what will fix it. I know what will fix it, Sister Heather. I know what will fix it, Brother Morris. I know what will fix it, Sister Rem. I know what will fix it, Brother Aaron. I know what's going to fix it, Sister Bethany, at your school. I know what's going to fix it at your workplace, Sister Helen. I know what's going to fix it. I know what's going to fix it, Sister Nicole. You are the light of the world. The only solution to darkness is light. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We got to let our light shine. And maybe some of us today just need to take a little stock take. You're going to let your light shine? The one way to turn the world upside down is to start being the light. Some of us have stopped being the light. We've gone back into that, like that old lady that got the electricity turned on. We come in, we light the lights, find the matches, light the candles, turn the lights out. We come to church and we like our light to shine brightly. Oh, I'm praising God. I'm coming to church. My light, but let me tell you, there's no use shining your light in here. It's out there that we got to shine our light. Praise God. So, what is light? Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said that we are the light of the world. We're not light bulbs. We are light. And here are some things that we can learn about light. Three attributes of light. Now, think about this in terms of ourselves. It's a challenge to the church today. Light always eliminates darkness. This place could be pitch black. I could light one candle and it would bring light to this room. And if I let your eyes adjust, you could look around, you could see people's faces, you could see a lot from the light. The first thing we know about light is that light always eliminates darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Light eliminates darkness. Darkness cannot win because you are the light of the world. That's what that means. Light always eliminates darkness. Let your light shine. You bring light into a dark situation when you come in and you start telling people about Jesus and you start showing them the love of Jesus and you start showing them the light. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of God. That's what that means. Light always eliminates darkness. And if I am light, darkness cannot affect me. Do you think light, Brother Vincent, gets intimidated by darkness? Wouldn't even enter its mind, would it? If light had a mind. Do you think the light says, oh no, here comes the darkness? That's not the way it works, is it? Who should be intimidated by light? It's like that paper, scissors, rock. You know, when my sister and I used to play it, we used to invent other things. But there was, if you tried to bring something else into that game, like I can't remember what we used to make up, other stuff like fire, you know, that was fire. You had rain. See, so paper, scissors, rock, fire, rain, rain, rust, scissors. Anyway, we'd try and introduce new things and it became undefeatable. There were these one things that we would design. It would ruin the game because if you did the fire thing, it would win everything. It's the same with light. Darkness is scared of light. Light's not scared of darkness. Light just walks, even in just a little bit of light, dispels all the darkness. Light always eliminates darkness. That's what we're doing, a science lesson today. And the Bible says that you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation that you should show forth. Everybody say show forth. The praises of him who called you out of
darkness.
Come on, did anyone read their Bible around here? Show forth the praises of him who called you out of
darkness
into his marvelous light. The darkness of this world is growing. Yes, I'm not here to say that everything's fine and dandy in this world, but it is only doing so because of the recession of light. We look at our schools and we think, what's going on? No longer praying, no longer allowed to have Bible reading, no longer even have Christmas in the schools, no longer allowed to talk about Easter, all of those sort of things. We think that's really, really terrible. But the reason is because light stopped shining. Because light moved out. We stopped shining our light. We started putting our light under a bushel. We started becoming intimidated by darkness. We started saying, you know, I'm really scared of that darkness. I'm just gonna go back in my little hole. And Eastern religions are growing at an alarming rate. Why? Because they're only doing that because people with the light are backing off. Light always eliminates darkness. I come to tell somebody today, we cannot afford to be intimidated. Darkness cannot come and affect us. Light always eliminates darkness. And whatever the situation is, don't be afraid to let your light shine. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the children of God. We cannot afford to be intimidated. The second thing about light is that it's always moving. Everyone say it's always moving. You need to think of light as a wave. And when I was doing physics in college and in university, we learn about the light waves. And it goes from the source of an object in waves. You can see me because the light waves are traveling towards me. What would happen if the light stopped moving? The moment that it stops moving, it ceases to be light. What would happen if Larry the light wave decided that he was feeling lazy and he decided to stop moving? He would cease being light because light always has to be moving. We are the light of the world. We need to start moving if we're going to light our world. We've got to get moving. We are the light of the world. We cannot let our light be hid under a bushel. We cannot be intimidated by darkness. We've got to get out in this world and shine our light to let the whole world see. We've got to let our light shine. The gospel, everyone say the gospel. Starts with go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and light your world. Don't put it under a bushel. You are the light of the world. And here we are in the four or six walls of this church today, feeling intimidated by what's going on in the world. We say, oh no, we're scared of the darkness. Don't be scared of the darkness. You are the light. Light eliminates darkness. And we get so scared, Brother Rob, that we stop moving and say, well, you know, I'm just going to sit here. Maybe if I can just sit here long enough, not do anything, just be lazy, that when Jesus Christ comes back, that I'm going to be all right. Put me in a cocoon and save me for the rapture. Light always has to be moving. Are you moving? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Are you letting your light shine? Are you telling other people about Jesus? Are you sharing the gospel with people at your workplace? Are you telling your friends? Or what are you doing? Have you stopped moving? 120 years ago, there were 1 billion humans on earth. 1 billion humans. It took us from Adam and Eve, Adam 1, to 1 billion, 6,000 years. In the next 120 years, we have reached 7 billion people. So 120 years ago, there were 1 billion people. 120 years later, there's 7 billion people. It took 120 years to get to 7 billion. Billion, and we'll probably reach 10 billion before most of us die. 10 billion. The challenge is, how are we going to reach them all? And you look at me and you go, well, you're the pastor. You're the guy preaching. That's your job. We come to church, we sing with our best voice. We put an offering in the plate. That's your job, Pastor. Go reach 7 billion or 10 billion people. That's your job. You're the one with the ministry. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you are the light of the world. We all have a ministry. God has all given us something to do. God is always bringing people across our path. We must not be intimidated. We must be moving. We must be constantly moving and sharing the light. How are we going to reach them? I was thinking about these numbers, and they're big numbers. How are we going to reach them? How are we going to go into all the world, 7 billion people? Well, the good thing is that now we have a better chance of reaching 7 billion people than we have ever had. We've got technology. And all of us, if you've got a computer and a smartphone, you've got more computing power than they had when they sent man to the moon. How many people have a computer and a smartphone? You got more computing power than they had when they sent man to the moon. You got a lot of power. Now, if we're going to reach the world, we got to stop using technology as toys and start using them as tools to spread the gospel. That's the only way we can do it. We can reach this world. Have you seen those things that go viral? Just some stupid little Charlie bit my finger. Baby bites another baby's finger and the baby says, Charlie bit my finger. Go on and have a look at how many people looked at that. It's like 100 million people. 200 million people. And we all know about it. Charlie bit my finger. But what if that little baby said, Jesus is the light. He's the only answer. It is possible. So we got to stop using technology as toys and start using them as tools to spread the gospel. I remember the days whenever you met someone, you were looking for an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. To tell them about Jesus. To tell them your testimony. To tell them what Jesus Christ has done in your life. I remember those days. I remember going with mum and dad to the shops and with my grandparents and seeing them start witnessing to people over the counter. I remember seeing my grandmother laying hands on people in the shops. What has happened? We are the light. We cannot be intimidated because light always eliminates darkness. We've got to stop using technology as toys and start using them as tools. We've got to do whatever we can, use whatever means we can to tell people about Jesus. We've got all this computing power. And we're playing Angry Birds and Candy Crush. You're connected to 600 people on your social media network. 600 people. And the only thing they ever hear you say is whining and complaining and picking on people. And telling people what you ate. True. I'm not saying that you have to start, go home and preach, right? And probably not a good idea to start preaching on Facebook. But start using it as a tool to tell people about the goodness of God. Get on there and say, I just want to tell all my friends and followers. It makes you feel really famous, doesn't it? To all my 1,000 followers out there, I just want to tell you today that Jesus Christ healed me. Now, no one's going to say, that's your testimony. So stop using it as a toy and start using it as a tool. And lastly, light, the last attribute of light, is a transfer of energy. The only difference between light and a laser is intensity. There's some lights up there. If we turn the intensity up on those lights, we burn a hole in us. In the book of Acts, we see a transfer of energy. Those 120 on the day of Pentecost got a transfer of energy. Jesus Christ living inside of them. The Spirit of God was poured out, living inside of them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you were filled with power. Everybody say power. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that we have been given power, the transfer of power to be witnesses. God knew what the world needed and he transferred his power to us. Acts 1 8 says, but you shall receive the transfer of energy. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me. Everybody say witnesses. Everybody say, shine my light unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Four things we talked about today. If you've got darkness in your life, if you've got anything, that you are without form and void, darkness, If you have a need, let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. If you're feeling incomplete, you are complete in Jesus Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. You are the light. You are the light. I am the light, and you are the light. Light always eliminates darkness. I want to come against any intimidation here today that we'd go out and feel intimidated by the darkness of this world. Here we are with the ultimate weapon, light. Always eliminates darkness. quivering in our boots, scared of the darkness. Light always eliminates darkness. Light always has to be moving. Some of us have got to get back to moving. Light is the transfer of energy. Let's stand in this place today. I pray today that you've been challenged. Let there be light. And the light's going to be shed, the Bible says, by us, because we are the light of the world.